Hi, everybody. I'm Carrie Diamond, host of Radio Cherry Bomb. You're listening to Super Women, Super Foods, the first ever Radio Cherry Bomb miniseries. Super Women, Super Foods is four different conversations with women we admire about their lives and their approach to wellness. It's a topic we don't talk about enough, and as you know, it's so important, especially with our crazy busy lives and in this increasingly crazy world we live in. Let's thank our sponsor. Our Radio Cherry Bomb miniseries is brought to you by Elemis, the number one luxury British skincare brand that just launched in the US. Elemis knows that what's good for your body is good for your skin, so feed your skin what it craves with their new superfood skincare range, available exclusively at Elemis.com. You can get 15% off your first order with the code CHERRY. I've been loving the Elemis Superfood Facial Oil because I have pretty dry skin. And also, I've been on a facial oil kick for the past several months and even tried making my own, thanks to Lily Diamond of Kale and Caramel, who I interviewed last year. She's a big DIY beauty proponent. But since I'm a bit of a beauty product junkie and a former beauty editor, I was thrilled to meet our next guest. Once upon a time, people didn't tote around yoga mats or talk about aromatherapy or pop into their local health food store for some quinoa, kale, or smoothies. Luckily for us, those things are more commonplace today, but in the 70s and the 80s, they weren't. That's why my next guest is so remarkable. Noella Gabriel is the co-founder and managing director of Elemis, and when she was younger, she was a pioneer in the wellness movement. She overcame tragedy to find inner peace, and today does her part to spread calm and beauty where she can. You'll be surprised at how simple her approach to wellness is, and she shares some easy exercises for bringing calm into your own life instantly. I also wanted to talk to Noella because she's a smart entrepreneur who was part of the original team that launched Elemis. They had no idea they were planting the seeds for what would become a major beauty brand. I know there are a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs out there, so you'll love her story. And lastly, Noella has such a healthy approach to aging, which I really appreciate. My one regret about our interview, I didn't ask Noella to sing for us. Next time. Noella Gabriel, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thanks, Carrie. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, we're delighted you're here. And people can tell from your beautiful accent pretty soon that you are from Ireland. Exactly where in Ireland did you grow up?
I grew up in West Cork, County Cork, in a lovely rural little village called Bandon. And yeah, just for, you know, go back very often, but I love my accent and I'm holding on dearly to it.
What was life like when you were growing up?
It was lovely. I was one of five, three brothers and one sister. Lost my parents when I was 18, so that was a big turning point. But they
both
gave us
parents.
A lot. Both parents, yeah, they died 3 months of each other, and that was a real, you know, that's that in fact, you know, it's a real rite of passage, really. And then, but they gave me a lot, Kerry. You know, I've got great resources. My fond memories of family life are wonderful. So actually, even though it was short, it was very sweet. And then I decided it was time for change. So I spread my wings and I left, and actually I went from there to New York. So
where do you fall in the birth order? I'm one of five, so I'm always curious.
I am Sagittarian, and my definition of a Sagittarian is your bag is always packed.
Where are you, the oldest, youngest, middle?
I am the second youngest.
You are
so
the second
two brothers
youngest.
Older,
okay.
And a sister I'm very close to who's just 2 years older, and then my younger brother.
Okay. And what were mealtimes like?
They were wonderful, you know. Irish mealtimes are wonderful. Great conversation. Good wholesome cooking. I had a great mom. She wasn't the best cook in the world, but she had about five main dishes and, you know, we rotated them through the week, which actually ends up that I'm not a great cook either. But I love food and I love the social part of it. And you know, Ireland, Irish homes are wonderful because it's music, conversation and good cooking.
Okay, I want to know what those five dishes were that mom rotated through. Do you remember?
Oh, well, I do, because I remember them through smell in a way, actually, interesting enough, because her apple pie was wonderful. She did a great, of course, a staple is bacon and cabbage, of course, we had to. And then she did a great rice pudding. And of course, we always had fish on Sunday. So we kind of rotated around like that, and great, you know, wholesome sort of rice pudding. Puddings that you don't get today with those great tastes, you know. So yeah, smell is something I really associated with my mum. You know, we'd always know Monday would be apple pie. So I have great memories.
Now, I did some homework on you, of course. And one of the favorite things I read about you was that you and your sister opened your town's very first health food store. I'm dying to hear more about this.
We did. Can you imagine a small town in West Cork, Ireland, one street, wonderful people, all loving us and knowing us very well, and we decide to open a health food store. And nobody understanding what the benefit of wheat germ or bran or any of it. I mean, I always remember lecithin, and it was supposed to be a great, you know, for your cholesterol, and always trying to explain to these wonderful Irish men that two spoons of lecithin would help their cholesterol. But they really wanted to support us. And if there was ever really a time that community reached out, they were coming in just looking at the shop. Is there anything we can buy from these two? But it was a gorgeous idea. My sister's also a yoga teacher, and she's a psychotherapist and a movement teacher. So it kind of ran parallel. And my curiosity was, you know, what sort of makes the body tick? I had a real curiosity about nutrition and food and that balance in itself.
So what year are we talking about here?
We're really talking, I mean, I left Ireland in 89, 90. We're talking about 37 years ago.
I mean, you were pretty much a pioneer.
Yeah.
Just in your neighborhood.
You're absolutely right. And we called it Acorn. And it was beautiful.
Acorn. Oh, I love
white walls and little wooden floor and wooden shelves. I can see it now. And then my sister and I, after about 2.5 years, I did nutrition and studied it totally. And I had a great interest in what was, you know, nutrition all about and this whole health food thing all about. And so I worked it. And actually, it was a great stepping stone to what I do today. But she wanted to go away and spread her wings and do her yoga and all of that.
So I'm so curious where you even got the information. I mean, there was no internet, no Whole Foods, nothing to copy. How did you decide what you would sell, what you would serve?
Well, I do know who was a great inspiration to me. There's a great book called Adele Davis, and she wrote, if you look back, all her nutrition books. And I look at them today, I still have them, and the pages are yellow for me, moving through those pages with great curiosity. And I must have read every volume she ever wrote. And she was talking then about selenium and, you know, potassium and zinc and, you know, it's like, I mean, the buzzwords today, you know, and to me, she was my inspiration, actually. I never met the lady ever, but I read everything she ever wrote. And then that sort of kind of gave that curiosity. I want to know about this, really. And of course, we thought by bringing it into our high street was the step number one. 2 years later, we decided, you know, actually, I don't think I really want to spend the rest of my life doing this.
Did you serve prepared food?
We did. We prepared food. We had a cold storage as well. And then that was the first stepping stone. So we got them through the door by being hungry, and then we'd start telling them about the whole food, and it was just
fun. It's like a TV show. I'm sure that your community loved you and supported you, but at the same time, they probably thought you were a little crazy.
They did, and they mentioned to us the odd ones when we go back, you know, remember the health food store? But they now, of course, I laugh because there's actually two health food stores in that little town today. All because of Acorn.
So how did wellness become of interest?
I think I'm a classical singer, and I still practice that today. And I think that I started that at the age of 13. And you don't start to train your voice at the age of 13. You start to breathe. So they had me pinpointed, and I got a scholarship, and off I go. And I was so eager to sing that I was blown away that my first whole year was just about breathing. And I thought, God, am I ever going to get to sing? You know, but of course, the breath is the foundation of singing, and it's the foundation of everything. You know, your life force, you know, well, breath, there's no life. It's also your cleansing breath. And then another thing that really fascinated me is that the exhale breath touches every muscle and skin cell in your body. And I, again, I had a fascination with that. And touch, touch and breath. And then that sort of brought me in, and I had my nutrition from my health food store. So there we are. We have a kind of a lovely combination coming here, and that just that curiosity. And I think I always had a wholeness approach to beauty and to skincare. And that's where the whole interest came. You know, I always believe there's no point in just treating the face, because the face is attached to an amazing body down here. And actually what's manifesting in its face is manifesting in the body. So you can't separate them. It's impossible. And there, then, that was the start. And actually, that was the start, really, of the Elemis concept as well.
So after Acorn, you come to New York.
I come to New York because I really want, I heard and read loads of things about holistic therapies, shiatsu, reflexology, all of those things. And I really wanted to spend some time. I had some time, and about 2 years, I thought, I'm going to learn these. So I came here, I had friends here. I actually ended up in Brooklyn, as I smile. And I started there with my friends, and then I thought, okay, thank you very much, guys, but I got to spread my wings. And I came down into Tribeca, and I'll always remember the first day I came in, they had friends there, so I moved in there. And my first morning walking the streets in Tribeca, there was a photo shoot for a Vogue cover going on, and I thought, I have arrived. It was incredible. I'll always remember the moment, you know, standing as a little girl and you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know. And I was just hungry. And I, you know, I worked, I did childcare, I did everything I could do to keep me going. But the ultimate thing was that I was learning. And actually, it's funny how I've come full circle. Here I am, you know, many, many years later, in something similar capacity, but I have a real fondness for the place. I love this city.
So this was the 80s,
yes,
in New York. Once again, you're totally ahead of your time. You know, the way the world is today is not the way the world was back then when it came to those things.
Yes.
Shiatsu, reflexology, yoga.
Yes, absolutely. But of course, my sister was a yoga teacher, so I had that knowledge as well. And I took part. I was always in the back of every class, you know, giving the moral support, but also learning and stretching. And I still believe in it today. Incredible thing to do.
It's funny to think back to a time when yoga was a fringe activity.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And also in a country where, you know, Ireland, and I love it from the bottom of my heart, but it was quite conservative and very Catholic Irish. And I am one, so very proud of that as well. But, you know, it had this little taboo thing, you know, this little culty thing going on. So it was hard, but we persevered and we loved it, and we had an amazing following. So we knew people wanted it. So we, you know, we did it in our fashion, you know, with great sense of humor. But at the same time, with good integrity as well. So, yeah.
So tell me exactly what classes you were taking here. You did shiatsu.
I did shiatsu, reflexology. And that then, for me, was very much the starting point between supporting that holistic approach to beauty.
Can you explain what each of those things is?
Yeah, reflexology means that every part of the sole of your foot, very simple thing, has a touching point in your body. So from the top of your toe, your sinus points, all the way down to the bottom of your heel and along your spinal cord, wherever there's a sensitivity, the belief is that is tapping in to a sensitivity in that area of the body. And, you know, it is. Do you know one of the most wonderful things anyone should do is when you sit in your settee or your sofa at night, is curl up and bring up both feet and just massage those feet. Don't be worried about technique. Just soften the soles of your feet, because honestly, there's in tremendous health benefits.
Do a lot of people ask you for foot rubs?
They do, absolutely. And back rubs.
And then shiatsu.
Shiatsu is that there are meridian lines in the body. And again, in every pressure point along those meridian lines, there's an energy point. And again, if there's a blockage in your lower back or your spine, if you massage along those meridian points, and again, very simple, where you feel congestion or there's a little lumpy area, or the client that's lying there, your best friend, whoever it may be, and she might say, ouch, that's hurtful, then there is a little bit of congestion there and there's lactic acid. And then moving your thumb around, that breaks that down. I mean, it is, in many ways, it's, when you talk about it, it makes such sense that actually I wonder why most of us just don't do it and fall back in it more.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, Elemis. It's time for a superfood fact from Elemis Skincare. It's hard to believe, but there's more to avocado than avocado toast. Avocado is renowned for its skin-nourishing properties thanks to naturally high levels of omega-9 and more than 25 vitamins and minerals that are vital for skin health. Avocado is just one of the nutrient-dense ingredients you'll find in the new Superfood Skincare Collection from Elemis. Why not nourish your skin? Pick up your superfoods exclusively at Elemis.com and get 15% off your first order with the code CHERRY. So, Noella, you also studied aromatherapy when you were here in New York. Why did you want to study that?
Because when I started Elemis, it did have a lot of essential. And Elemis, you know, fundamentally, the formulations are based on great essential oils and great actives. And I believe if you're going to work with any product, you need to know your subject. And to make it simple, you need to know it. And if I want to talk to people, you know, and really inform them, I need to understand that subject. So I went off to qualify as an aromatherapist. And it was a great journey, and it gave me a great appreciation actually of nature, plants, and the life force of every plant. And the, and my God, the world of aromatics in nature alone. So when you're walking, just make sure you breathe.
What are some of your favorite scents?
I mean, Ylang Ylang has to be in every woman's bottom of her handbag, I think, because it's just a flower of flowers, and it's just so beautiful. And it changes throughout the day as well. And I think to keep me grounded and my feet firm on the ground, Palmarosa is beautiful, and of course, rosewood.
Palmarosa, I don't know what that is.
It's a, the rosa bit is like almost like a rose, so it's very flowery, and then you get the woody note as well. It's just one of those gorgeous aromatics that is very subtle, but it's a light flower and it's got that little wood note as well. It's just really beautiful.
We often talk about smelling your food on Radio Cherry Bomb because I think that's a lost art, but it's just a lost practice. You know, you go to grocery stores and they're slightly removed. Things are all packaged.
Yes.
You know, that's what's
so
nice about going to a farmer's market and really stopping and smelling what you're buying.
Oh, my goodness, the sense of smell. I mean, even if you take your nose, and I do this when I'm doing a journey with people, I get them to turn off the sense of smell. Just close down your nose, squeeze it with your index finger and your thumb, and then eat. Choose something and you will have no taste whatsoever. So we should never separate smell and taste. When you taste, you smell. When you smell, you taste. It is the whole character, the color, the vibrance of the day to day.
I'm always sticking my nose in the bowl or after I chop something, smelling it.
I mean, oh, I love it. Yeah.
And now it's such a great time of year because I cook a lot with things like ginger.
Yeah, garlic.
And garlic. Mm. And the smells are just so fantastic. Mm. Do you cook?
I do cook. I'm a very simple cook. But I get my wok is my best friend. So I get out my wok and I don't stick to a recipe. I really, truthfully, I don't. And it's funny you say ginger and garlic. They are my bases. I put those in. I love a spring onion. I love that kind of, you know, the sharpness. And then lots of ginger. I adore ginger. I think it's great as well for your well-being. And then I'll just throw in whatever is in the fridge. You know, I'll chop up and then I put, you know, I like to be as I'm a pescatarian. I don't eat meat, but I eat a little fish. But I'm just a great vegetable, fresh vegetable girl. I go out on a Saturday morning to the vegetable market. You know, it's just all part of the of my week. So yeah, my wok is my best friend, but I think it begins and ends there, Kerry, I'm afraid.
I'm guessing you're a tea drinker.
Oh my goodness. I'm Irish. I mean, they say the kettle is always on. Well, that's actually is my, I go from one cup of tea to another, unfortunately. It is my vice in life.
Well, there were vices to have, Noella. You know that. What kind of tea do you like?
When I'm really good, I have a green tea, but I'm not always good, Kerry, so it's good old breakfast. And I do love my Barry's Irish tea, so I bring it back from Ireland every time I go over. So yes, I'm a cultured tea drinker.
With milk?
With milk.
Of course. I'm embarrassed to even ask that. But yes, with milk. Have you started to play around with alternative milks? It's a big subject right now.
No, I absolutely have, and because my daughter actually has asthma, so we've explored all of that. Soya, my favorite would be the almond milk. Actually, it's lighter. Soya is pretty, you know, and the sweetness of the soya I don't particularly like, but you know, it's everyone's favorite. Almond milk for me is beautiful.
I've been making my own milk. Nut milks, which is really fun. I mean, it's a process and a commitment, but it's really fun and the difference in taste is so exciting.
Oh, yeah. Well done. I'm very impressed. Yeah. I mean, that's terribly time consuming as
well. It is time consuming.
And
yes.
Do you strain it down to the little...
Strain it. Oh, I have a new trick. You take a sieve, you know, those sort of fancy colander type things, and a ladle. And so you soak the nuts, you drain them, you put the nuts and the water. I always put a pitted date and some sea salt in there, whip it all up, and then pour it into the strainer over a bowl, obviously.
Yeah.
And then you take the ladle, and the ladle kind of fits the shape of the sieve, and it's pretty easy to sort of mash it down.
Yes.
I used to have I still have it, a nut bag.
Oh my goodness, I'm very impressed.
And you could use a nut bag. It's very weird. The sensation is strange. You actually feel like you are milking some kind of nut animal. And then you can also use cheesecloth.
Of course.
But the sieve is my favorite trick so far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go. I will.
So we digress. Let's fast forward to 1990.
Yes.
You launch Elemis.
Yes.
You had some partners in crime. Wasn't just you, right?
Yes, no, it wasn't. There was a few people involved, actually, and they were very keen to launch bring a skincare into the natural world that pushed the boundaries and no compromise. And I loved that. You know, you don't often hear that in the world of skincare. So for me, that was excitement number one, that my goodness, we have an opportunity here to do something different. At the time, I was running the beauty department in Harvey Nichols and absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, Harvey Nichols is, let's face it, it's Sex and the City. You know, it's you know, there is nowhere else to go. And I loved it and I loved the people. And
I have total visions in my head of absolutely fabulous with Patsy and Adina coming by. Is that what it was like?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And more and much more. Amazing. I mean, the whole thing was a theatre from the minute you opened the doors in the morning. So I loved it and I was terribly excited by it. But I got a phone call one day on a Thursday evening. I'll always remember it, actually. And it was a lady saying, "We heard you might be the girl that could help us launch this range." And now when I think of it now, you'd never do it today. But I went down around the corner to meet someone in a hotel on Sloane Street, as one does. My mother would have killed me. And I met this lady, a lady called actually Linda Steiner, and she had an idea. And when I listened, I thought, okay, I'll do this if I can be involved. I need to be in product development and I want to do the treatment development as well. And when I think of that now, today, you know, back then, that was quite ambitious, you know. And I walked out of Harvey Nichols and, you know, wonderful experience to start something totally new into an unknown world. And when young girls come to me today and they say, you know, how did you get where you are? You got to be ready to make change, you know, to change up. There's no guarantee, but don't just keep doing the same thing and just want to learn, you know, have a commitment to something. You know, I mean, when I think back, it was very brave. But look, here we are today. You know, my God, you know, here we are pioneering a British brand to be the number one global skincare brand. So exciting.
At the time, had you, even though you were working at Harvey Nicks and it was, you know, flashy London, did you still have that Irish hippie side?
Oh, I did. And they loved my Irish accent. I mean, I love London and I love England and it's been incredibly good to me. I love the city with a great passion and I love the people. And I think it's why I've never lost my Irish accent, because it's always been encouraged and people love it. And I think, and it's just there's something wholesomeness about it, which is nice.
So how do you start a skincare brand from scratch?
Well, we had 12 essential oils, we had a milk bath, and I think if I remember well, we had probably one or two day creams. And now once I qualified as an aromatherapist, I now understand totally why that was the mix. It was only about 8 products. And of course, oil and water don't mix, but oil in milk and water do mix. And then, of course, milk and oil make a cream. So you had different, you had an oil to an emulsion to a milk. And when you think of that in the world of skincare, that is exciting, because it means texturally you have a library whether it be an oil or a cream. And today, we talked about Elemis today as being a texture library. In fact, no two products are the same, which to me is the most interesting thing about this whole development, because it's really easy, Curry, to run out a line extension on one base and just boom, 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 and get them out there. But that's not the Elemis. You know, that was never the Elemis concept. Even back there, it was about something different. You know, try and get people into the bath, because if they go into the bath and breathe and apply a cream, they're going to feel better, look better. So it was that feel better and look better parallel that was my, was the, what really was what excited me.
So everyone wants to be an entrepreneur today. Were you a natural entrepreneur?
I think I believe in doing things differently. I don't believe in following trends. It's not exciting. I've never, my life has been a complete, you know, a journey of different choices. And to me, if that is what an entrepreneur is, then I am a true entrepreneur. But to me, even tomorrow, I won't do the same thing. So it's about wanting to do something different and make different choices, I think.
So that's probably why you were so happy last night. We were together at the launch of the new Elemis skincare collection called Superfoods, which I loved because it's really fun to learn about these products that have all these different superfood ingredients.
Yes, absolutely.
You've got everything from avocado to broccoli seed extract to on and on. Where did the idea for that collection come about?
Well, if you think of where I started, back to that acorn. And actually, as I was traveling over here, I was thinking that. I thought, my goodness, when you think I've come the full circle around, you know. Skin health is something that we've always needed, but we were never aware of it, I think. I think we've gone through 10 years of everyone trying to get through the skin and into the skin and forgetting about the skin. I mean, the skin is the interface between us and the environment. So good skin health is, before you get any results, you've got to have a happy skin. And a happy skin is about skin health. So it's the natural progression, you know. And for me now, we have the awareness and we have the ingredient offering as well. I mean, you know, my favorite superfood is matcha tea. If we could only all drink it all day. We really don't understand the powerhouse of matcha tea. You know, 137 more antioxidants than normal tea. It's all we should be drinking when you think about it. But, you know, go back 10, 15 years ago, we didn't even know about matcha tea. You know, flaxseed, you know, we had the broccolis. We fed kale really to the animals. My goodness, you know, now we can't get enough of it. So I think it's a whole parallel between really going back to simplicity and a parallel between good diet and great skin.
You have quinoa in there too. Did you try the quinoa vodka last night?
I did. I have to say, Curry, I did surrender to it at the end of the evening.
So tell me about your skincare routine.
My skincare routine is, it's simple, but it's consistent. And I think if there's anyone listening today and think, it's too late. It's not too late, actually, because fundamentally the skin is alive. And that's the magic thing here. You know, we're not working on a dead canvas. You're working on a skin that's alive. So we can change it anytime you want. But keep it simple. You know, I would say as you get older, oil should become your best friend. And, you know, I use a cleansing balm. You know, so I've changed to a balm texture.
No soap.
If you want soap from the neck down, it would be a golden rule. And I'd be honest with you, if you could do that, it's incredible. Water takes the oil away, no matter what medium you work with. And unfortunately, an aging skin is a skin that has less oil. It's a very simple way of putting it. It's getting drier every day and it's getting thinner. So why would you strip it of any more? The environment is doing that for you anyway. So let's put back in. So oil. But, you know, oils 10, 15 years ago, Kerry, were heavy and sticky and greasy. But they're incredible now. Look at the Elemis Superfood Oil.
I'm obsessed with that product right now.
It's a great example, you know, of how oils have evolved. It's got 9 oils in there. And it's the lightest texture you could put. It's blow away light molecule on your skin. And I love that. And that's what I love about this industry.
Now, I have nice, dry Irish skin. maybe like you, maybe not. And so I have been putting the oil on, and then I put moisturizer on top of that.
Fabulous.
Am I overdoing it a bit?
No, you're absolutely okay. Not. Good technique. Yes.
Okay. Have you stayed out of the sun?
Yes. I mean, the sun is something that, and you know, we all love it. And a glow, a healthy glow is just beautiful. And I don't think there's any woman out there that doesn't want that. But to lie hours under the sun, yes, we all did it in our teenage years, but I certainly wouldn't do it today. I have no interest in it. Even when I go away, I love to walk, I love to explore, I wear a hat, and I, you know, like every woman, I wear my sunglasses. But I'm not paranoid about it, but I wouldn't lie hours under the sun. Never again.
I'm paranoid because I burn.
Yes.
I'm paler than you are. So yeah. I sort of lucked out in that I never could tan or lay out because I would just burn to a crisp. I would be one giant freckle and one giant sunburn. And I think that helped me a lot, not sunbathing.
Yes, actually, you probably did because you had a reason to stay out. And I think there is something in that, Kerry. I think the higher our SPFs have got, it's almost giving women more permission to stay longer under the sun. And I think that's not correct. I would go back to the early days when, you know, you go for 20 minutes and you come back in for 20 minutes. And if we could bring that back, I think it would be the best health things we could ever do for the skin.
You know, it's funny. I was at the Goop conference the other day that Gwyneth Paltrow puts on. It was the second one and it was here in New York City. And one of the speakers said something about behavior modification. I'm going to totally misquote them, but it was something about behavior modification being like the next super drug or the next big thing, that we pretty much all know now what we have to do to be better.
Yes.
And there are things we can control and there are things we can't control.
Correct.
But the things we can control, we don't always do. And if we can just start to change some of our behaviors.
I think we have to understand that we are a product of our lifestyle choices. And we have to accept that. I mean, our lifestyle choices today are actually will reflect in our skin tomorrow that quickly. It's quite a scary thought, actually. But isn't it also fantastic that you can change that? We can change your choices today and my God, your skin will look better tomorrow. And I think that's the magic of that. You know, there are things we have to work in a city. We have to run at a high stress level. You know, you might be someone who doesn't get a full night's sleep, but, you know, there are choices that can help that. And I think that's where that awareness has come. And I think we have to take that back, that responsibility.
And the connection, I'm happy to hear more and more people talking about the connection to health, wellness, and diet when it comes to your skin. Because creams aren't enough. I mean,
no, they're not. I mean,
you talk about
that. It's an organ. And I think that's what everyone forgets. And sometimes we even say it and we don't really take that on board. I mean, your skin is not there just holding all the pieces together. It is your largest organ. It's an eliminative organ. It's your largest cleansing organ of the body. That is powerful. So to have it functioning at its peak is our responsibility. Because if it's not, then the pressure that puts across everything else within the body is huge. But it's not as complicated either as we think. You know, less is more. You know, excite the skin with textures. You know, I always equate it in back in the early days, you know, if you went on a banana diet or, you know, all these fad things that we've all done, let's be honest. You know, after 2 days, you lose a couple of pounds and then after that, it all platters out. The skin is kind of the same. You know, change up, change out.
And even the stuff you're putting inside doesn't have to be that complicated. Just water.
Yeah.
Like the difference I see in my own skin when I'm drinking water and remembering to have water with me, it makes such a big difference.
It does. It does. And I think, you know, if in for food particularly, keep it as close to nature as possible. It's a golden rule. You know, do less with it. As fresh as you possibly can. And my goodness, you know, even when I was out in the city this morning and to see all the opportunities, even in a big city like this, to eat as healthily as you possibly can is extraordinary. It's all at our fingertips today.
So tell me what your job with Elemis involves today. You travel a lot, I know
that. I am a managing director of the UK and Europe, and that's fabulous. You might say, why is that fabulous, Noella? It means I work with a lot of people. I love people. They bring me alive every day, you know. If you don't, then you don't do this job, you know. I actually feel very lucky, Kerry. You know, I'm in an industry I adore. It's not a lot of people working in industry they adore. Obviously, I have to have a commercial hat, but I try always to keep that secondary and keep the people first and the product. And then if I get that right, then the commercials take care of themselves.
How you balance your hippie side and that corporate side that you have to have when you work for a company as big as Elemis?
I sing. I take singing lessons still. I think that's important because I love the vibration of music. I do Pilates. I walk. And when I say I walk, I really walk. I mean, I go out on a Saturday morning at about 7, 8 o'clock. I love the early morning when no one else around. I love that space. I walk in the woods. I love the woods. I love the way they shade and they leave in light. I love that. I could walk for 2-3 hours and then I come back. And that affects fundamentally my thought process. It changes the way I approach the day. It changes the way I speak to people. It changes the way I communicate with a young teenager, a young millennial, which, let's face it, has its own challenges. I love them all dearly. So, yeah, I think I have my own resources.
I want to talk about breathing, because breathing was the one thing that came up in every single interview I read about you or watched on YouTube. And you swim, you sing, you walk, you talk, you studied aromatherapy.
Yes.
Breathing is involved in all of these things.
I think breathing is just fantastic. I mean, if you just watch your breath, it tells you so much about your body. It tells you about the emotional state you're in as well. Your breath, if you can keep in tune with that, it's the best rhythm you can have in the day. It's not easy now, Curry, because when you even get excited, your breath changes pattern. Everything, sharp, shallow breath. But to breathe, to really breathe down into the bottom of your lungs. Remember too, the breath has a fundamental action. It cleanses your blood. It's again the cleansing breath. It's your life force. We have lots of new age words around it. But without breath, you're nothing. And I think you are the breath. I love that sentence. It's you. It's such a big part of us. So it's really important that we stay in tune with it, stay aware with it, and you know, give it a little hug from time to time. And I love a word I use with breathing is softening. Because if you really just bring your breath into your body and on the exhale breath, if you just let go, and we all think we're relaxed, but we're not actually. But if you can get in tune with that breath and soften. And I think about breathing through the soles of your feet. It's a very different way of thinking breathing, because we all get obsessed with the diaphragm and is it in, is your belly in, is your out. Forget it all. Just close your eyes and just think of that breath coming through into your body, through the soles of your feet, up into the calves, the knees, the thighs, the bum, travel it up the space of your spine, between your shoulder blades, up to the nape of the neck, into your face, back of your eyes, and exhale and just feel it exiting the body. And then feel that softness. Now, if we think that's where we need to be, that's where we need to live from, and then feel how removed we have just been from it, I think that's a great awareness through the day.
Do you purposefully stop a few times a day and do that?
I do. At the desk, when I feel it's all sort of shoulders are going up, they're up to my ears, I'm the same as everyone else. I look at my fists. I sometimes look at the way I go to the computer, my hands, and I just drop everything. And I flatten out the palms of my hands onto my desk. I close my eyes. And I just reconnect for a few minutes. And I really do that at a minimum at the desk, probably twice a day. It's only it's a couple of seconds, but it really checks in and it's very important.
Do you find yourself reminding friends or coworkers or family to just breathe?
I mean, it's a joke at work because they say, okay, Noella, we breathe. Time out and we'll breathe. And they smile about it, but at the same time, there's just the minute you say it, there's a consciousness around that. I think breathing is phenomenal. I think it's the most underrated thing that we do daily. And I think it also can be a great barometer for you. You know, if you think, well, I don't know when I'm, you do, because your breath is telling you, just tune into it.
So another wellness thing, and I don't know if this counts as wellness, but before we started the interview, you took a heart You have a little ceramic stone. A stone?
It is a little stone, and I love the heart shape, and I design all the treatments for Elemis, so touch is a very important thing for me. Again, I think touch and breath are fundamental, and I love the warmth of that in the palm of my hand. I love the contact. I'm very tactile.
So it's a small.
It's a tiny little heart.
And
very
it's
small.
It's white with sort of red speckles.
Yeah, little red speckles.
And you carry it with you everywhere.
And I carry it with me everywhere. In fact, I had it in my purse. So I just took it out there to hold in the palm of my hand. And I think it's the tactileness of it. And I just like it. I just the fact holding your heart is just really, really nice.
And where did you say that's from?
That's actually I picked up in Thailand when I was traveling last year. Well, I have several of them, all different colors. And they're about all the same size. I like that little size. Because I can carry it around.
So another wellness thing, I read in an interview that you said you do not strive to look younger. And I thought that was maybe the most radical thing you'd said in all those interviews, especially coming from a beauty executive, because that is not necessarily the message pushed by beauty companies today.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, if I'm going to be entrepreneurial and if I'm going to be a voice, I think it's really, really important to be sensible. You know, and I don't really want any woman out there thinking, oh, my God, you know, look at this woman. And, you know, I want to be like, I just want to be myself and I want to grow old gracefully. And I want to look in the mirror and recognize myself in 10 years time. I do believe you can do an awful lot to look better. That's not the same. But I think, you know, there is a lovely, I think one of the best gifts you can give yourself as you get older is to grow old gracefully. And I think if I can do that, then I think do it within the beauty industry, I think I really have done something special.
Did it take a while for you to accept that, or have you always felt that way?
No, when I came into the beauty industry, it you know, obviously it does pass your mind to think, oh my God, you know, I'm going to be getting wrinkles, I ain't going to be growing old. And I always made a promise to myself, Kerry, that this is something I'm going to do in my way. Otherwise, this isn't the place I need to be. And because for me to end up in the beauty industry was, I'm not the typical, you know, I'm here, I came in a different avenue, really. I came into beauty from the total of the approach to beauty, which is why the Superfood range launch for Elemis is like the full circle, really. I mean, I really feel at home with this range. And actually, Elemis, this is our space. You know, we started this whole campaign and pioneered it for a long time. So, but I think for me personally, I could not be today. If I couldn't recognize myself today internally for what I am, I think I would have paid a very high price.
I need to ask you what you think your superpower is.
Oh, I think my sense of humor, actually. I think, you know, nothing is too great. It can be surmountable. We can sort it. I love when young people grow under with a bit of mentoring and a bit of direction. And, you know, I think through my journey, I had people who mentored me and inspired me. And if I can be inspirational and look back and people say, God, you know, I've met Noella and she inspired me, then I think that's the real definition of a superwoman.
So if you could have a traditional superpower, what would it be and why?
A traditional superpower. Oh, my goodness. I'm not too sure about that.
Walk through walls,
walk
time
through
travel.
Walls. Oh, I think.
Invisible airplane,
yes,
golden lasso.
I'd love to see above the clouds. I'd love to see what's up there. Maybe a little visit to the moon overnight and back the next day.
That sounds great. Well, Noella, thank you so much. You're so positive and you radiate just so much kindness and goodness. It's been a privilege to sit across from you, but also get to know you better.
Thanks, Gary, very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Superwomen Superfoods, our mini-series about wellness. And thank you to Elemis for supporting Radio Cherry Bomb. It's time to feed your skin. Pick up the Elemis Superfood Skincare Collection exclusively at elemis.com and get 15% off your first order with the code CHERRY. This episode was engineered by Dave Tatasciore. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and Heritage Radio Network. Before we get together again, I have one question for you. What's your superpower?